It is good to be with you guys this morning. What a way to start a service. I look forward to many more of those. Brian, glad to have you up here in the big church today. But this morning, as we continue in the book of Acts, if you haven't been with us, let me catch you up. Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death. And he has now empowered his disciples, his followers, his apostles to go forward in his power and in his name to create this thing called what we call the church, a gathering of people who believe and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that he is God, that he has risen from the grave. And so the power to do that came from the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Holy Spirit now comes upon any who confess the name of Jesus and dwells with them and empowers them to move forward and to talk about Christ and to live for Christ. But as they began to have this invasion of the gospel, Satan stirred up attacks. He stirred up people. He stirred up first with the Jews and the Pharisees, and they would arrest the apostles and beat them and put them in prison, but God would bring them back out, and they would worship, and they would keep doing this, and there were these back and forth to the point where one of the religious leaders named Saul was so infuriated with the teaching of who Jesus Christ was that he got permission and power and authority to have guards and soldiers, got permission from the high priest to begin arresting Christians, kicking in the door and arresting them and bringing them into prison. And what happened is the church in Jerusalem, that's where it's all at this point, is in the city of Jerusalem, begins to scatter. There's about 15 to 20,000 Christians at this time, and they scatter, all throughout the nation of Israel. They scatter back into some of their home regions where they were from, in the Greek area, in the Roman area, and they're scattering all over trying to get out of this persecution. And the man who was chasing them down, God stops on a road as he's going up into a town called Damascus, which is up in Syria, another nation away, and he stops him outside that city, blinds him, and Jesus Christ appears to him and speaks to him. And that man goes from not believing in Jesus as God and Savior and Lord and risen from the grave to now he will become one of the greatest preachers of the gospel. Now, we're not going to get to his point for in a couple more weeks where he's going to be. But the church has this age of peace because the persecution has died down. It's not absent, but it's died down. And because of that, Peter is able to leave Jerusalem and go around and teach people about Jesus. And what happens is when he's out on one of his journeys, encouraging other Christians in other towns, the Holy Spirit calls on him. God speaks to him and gives him a revelation that I'm going to not just have you go to Christian Jewish believers, but we are now going to take this thing on the road. And this thing called following Jesus is going to go to what is known as the Gentiles. And everyone in this room, unless you were born from a Jewish descent, is considered a Gentile. We're all of that, non-Jews. And so while God gives him this permission and this really kind of strange, unique dream, where he brings down a blanket, a giant tarp full of animals that in the Jewish tradition, you are not allowed to kill and eat because they were considered unclean. And it was a symbol for Peter to understand that, hey, guess what? How God is now giving you permission is okay for them to now be clean. They are now clean is a symbol for what God is going to do to go to those who are considered unclean, the Gentiles. It's okay for you to go to them. And literally when the dream is winding down, there comes a knock on the door. And there's three men standing outside. Three men, two are a servant, one's a Roman, soldier. And they came from a man named Cornelius, who's all the way up the coast in the area of Caesarea. And he had an angel of the Lord appear to him and tell him, hey, I have a message for you from God, and you're going to get it through this guy named Peter. And he's all the way down in a town called Joppa. Send your men to get him and bring him. Now he's a Roman centurion, which is kind of like a captain in our army. He commands over 100 soldiers. And so he's up there and he's waiting for Peter to come. And that's what we're going to pick up today in this story, is that Peter comes to him. And he now feels permission from God. He no longer has to hold on to his Jewish traditions. He no longer has to hold on to the ceremonies and the areas of the law. He is okay for him to not be defiled, to go talk to a Gentile. And not just any Gentile, but a very strong leadership Gentile. So we pick up in verse 33 of Acts chapter 10. This is the last words Cornelius gives to Peter before we now read the section on Peter. And it says this, that Cornelius says, I sent for you at once, that's after talking to the angel, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Now, I don't know a pastor or a preacher out there who would not love to have his congregation say that to him. We're all gathered together to hear what you have to say, Lord. But how many times when we come to church, we come with all kinds of baggage. Lord, fix me. Fix this. Take it away. We come with a desire that maybe church is just kind of a self-help, like Oprah Winfrey. Or maybe church is something just to kind of entertain you and make you feel good. Kind of get your Jesus Scooby snacks. You know, it just makes me feel good. And my munchies and crunchies. And I just kind of, okay, this is good. No, right. And I go on. But see, Cornelius knows that the man standing before him is not bringing himself help. He's bringing him power. This is a man of power, a man of authority, a man of leadership. A man who commands other men and leads by example. And he's saying, I'm here to be under the command of the Lord, under his word and his teaching. So I pray that that's our desire here this morning, to be under what the Lord has to say for us today. I have no idea what God's going to speak to your heart about today. I've prepared these words, I've prepared this sermon all week long, but I have no idea what the Holy Spirit's going to say to you today. Will you be open to his leading? So we pick up in Acts chapter 10, and I'm going to read verse 34 through 48, but our main section is going to be the first 8 to 10 verses there. I'm going to leave the latter half for next week because it ties in with chapter 11, but I want to read the whole thing for you. So Peter, after being told, hey, we're ready to hear from you, he opens his mouth and said, truly, I understand. My eyes are opened that God shows no partiality between Jew or Gentile. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. And now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised and who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and exalting God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. This is the word of God for the people of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. There's so much that in what you're doing to save lives. So much what you have accomplished. So much of who you are and your identity. Lord, may we know who you are. May we not just be convinced of historical facts, but may our lives be changed by those facts. May we know you as our Lord. May we know you as our Savior. May the cross have power in our lives. May the resurrection of Jesus Christ have power in our lives. May we be transformed. Lord, we ask and we pray that you speak to us individually today and speak to us as a congregation, that we might encounter you more in our life. Lead us, Lord. We ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. So today is about power. Resurrection power. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ is what Peter is proclaiming and the impact it has on our lives. It's the one thing when you are dealing with all kinds of your struggles and pains, whether it's your financial situations, whether it's your marriage, whether it's raising kids or adult children, whether it's in health concerns, our hearts as believers in Jesus needs to be constantly on the resurrection of Jesus. Because the power that brought Jesus Christ back to life is the power that he now wants to have dwelling in you as a believer. It's the power he wants to have lead you and guide you in his gospel. It's a power to set you free from addiction. It's a power to set you free from hangups and hurts and wounds. We've all been set free if we have faith in Jesus Christ. We were all once bound in chains, and those chains have fallen off. And we can look at our hands and see the scarred hands from the slavery of our sin and the wounds of this sinful world on our lives. We can all look and see the scars. And Jesus Christ has said, "I didn't just take away the chains. I'm going to heal these scars. I'm going to change your life. And it's going to come in a way that you are going to struggle with, because sin's effect on you has changed how you think life is supposed to be." The resurrection of Jesus Christ isn't just his new life. It's your new life. That's the promise that Peter is going to be preaching here. So first, I want us to look at verse 36. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'm going to put it on the screen for us. But Acts chapter 10, verse 36 here in this section, Peter says, "As for the word that he sent to Israel," so the gospel of Jesus Christ first came to the Jews, "preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." He is Lord of all. He's Lord of all because he brings peace. How many of us are dealing with chaos in our hearts, dealing with unravel in our lives? We don't have peace in our soul, and we seek to find peace or to medicate and to escape pain. We're constantly seeking to find it, connect to it. How can I have it? Maybe if I go down to Florida and get on the beach and have a nice drink and just relax, that's peace. For a moment, But have you ever noticed that everywhere you go, your sins follow? Everywhere you go, your baggage seems to go with you. You're like, I didn't put that in the suitcase, but it came with me. Everywhere we go, we're seeking peace. We're constantly seeking peace. Maybe I can get peace if I have enough financial security, if I just have enough. And we never seem to have enough. Maybe if the politics in our nation would change, we would have peace. And then we go from one party to the next, and it just keeps being chaos. We're craving peace. And that peace, Peter says, comes through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. I'm going to come back to this verse in a minute. So he's speaking to this Roman centurion about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, a crucifixion he probably has overseen of other people. Romans have perfected crucifixion, and him being a Roman centurion, and probably what we read from the text last week, a premius centurion, which means he doesn't just command 100, but probably 200, 300 or more soldiers. He's a high-ranking, well-known throughout all of Jerusalem Roman leader. He knows about crucifixion and the torture. He knows of the painful death. And he's hearing Peter talk about that Jesus' crucifixion was prophesied from the Old Testament. And Jesus' crucifixion was foretold, and that he didn't just die, but he rose from the grave. And you can imagine his mind wrestling with, wait a minute, I know what happens to people on those crosses. If they come down, they go in the grave. They never come back. It is a slow, painful, torturous death. And he's saying, wait, there was one crucifixion that wasn't permanent. There was one crucifixion that wasn't permanent. So in verse 40 through 41, Peter says this, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear. Jesus appeared. He didn't just rise and they found an empty tomb. He showed up and he appeared not to all of the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. The 1 Corinthians tells us that Jesus showed up to over 500 people. 500 people ate with him, drank with him, hung out with him. We saw in chapter 1 that Jesus spent 40 days doing this. It wasn't a one-time, you know, blip on the radar, boop, there's Jesus, and then he's gone. 40 days he wanted to make sure they understood. I conquered sin and death. I'm victorious. I am God. I have risen from the grave. You can touch me. You can eat with me. You can talk with me. The climax and everything that we are going to talk about here today is all built upon that power to come back to life. And many of us need Jesus Christ. Power of resurrection in our lives today. The resurrection means we are free from sin. The resurrection means that all of our guilt of our failures is taken away. The resurrection means Jesus has accomplished what he preached he would do, that he is God, that he is our Savior, that following him means we can trust in him because he has come back to life. He is the one who is supreme over our lives. So we fast forward and down in Acts 10 and verse 42, and he declares this about Jesus. That Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify. What are they commanded? What are they testifying? That Jesus is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Judge means to have final authority, final rule, final say. Jesus is qualified to be judged based upon the fact that he has come back to life. Not by the fact that he was a good, entertaining preacher and everybody just flocked to hear him. Not because he did miracles and fed 5,000 people with a few fish and a few loaves. That's not what qualified him. It wasn't his loving words that qualified him. What qualifies Jesus Christ to be the living judge in your life, the ruler of your life, is the resurrection. The one who conquers sin and death is the one who has authority over sin and death. And when I say judge, I'm not saying that Jesus is coming to bring condemnation. He is coming to teach you and show you, I have paid the price for you. You can be set free this morning. You can know life this morning. This is what the prophets were talking about. In Acts 10, verse 43, Peter says, to him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness in his name. Now, in his name, anytime you see that in the Bible, it's not referring to the words, the letters, the sound, Jesus Christ. You don't say the word Jesus Christ and, oh, I'm saved. He's saying you have to believe in him. The name means all that's encompassing of who he is and his identity. Believe in him. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does it mean to believe that Jesus is God, that he is Lord, that he is Savior, that he has paid for all your sins? What does that mean to believe? Well, again, back in verse 36, I think there's a key here. He's telling them that he's preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, that he is Lord of all. I want to start with that Lord of all for a second. Jesus is Lord of all. This means he commands our life. And if he is Lord and he's commanding, then he commands and he brings peace with him. When someone has authority, you can trust that he has authority and brings peace because of what he's accomplished. Jesus brings peace. So the peace of God that comes through believing the good news message is not just that you believe in the historical fact that Jesus came back to life, but submitting to the reality that Jesus is the Lord of every aspect of your life. That's what brings you peace. Think about the chaos that you have at home. Think about the loneliness you feel inside. Think about the wounds you are dealing with emotionally. Think about your fears. Think about your anxieties. Let them come to your mind right now. And many of us are afraid to let Jesus Christ be Lord of those things. We're afraid to let Jesus Christ have authority in our lives in these things. Because we don't, honestly, when we want to come down to it, we don't know if we trust his plan for our lives. Lord, I want you to be my Savior. I want you to take away my sin. I want you to take away my brokenness. But I don't know if I want you to have authority over these different areas of my life. I want your forgiveness. I want your grace. I want your love. But I don't know if I want your lordship. I don't know if I want your rule. I don't know if I want that. Because I'm scared of what that might mean. That might mean my life and how I choose to live it. It has to change. And it's going to change. And I don't know if I'm going to be comfortable with that change. We all love change, right? We all love our whole lives to be turned upside down. Everybody's just raising their hands all across the auditorium. And amen, and we all love change. No, we don't. But Jesus Christ did not die on the cross to come make your sinful, broken, hurting, struggling life just roses. He came to give you a new life, not to make your sinful old life better. He wants to give you a radically new life, and he can't give you that new life if all he is a historical fact in your mind. Oh, yes, I believe he physically lived, died on the cross, rose from the grave, and paid for all my sins. Guys, the demons believe that, and they're not saved. Why? Because he's not Lord of their life. Jesus Christ loves you so much that while you were still a sinner, he came to make you who were his enemy and rebels to him, make you part of his family, to be Lord of your life. Think about who he's talking to here. He's talking to Cornelius. Cornelius has gathered his whole family in this room. He's gathered his soldiers in this room. He's gathered his servants in this room. This is a man who is used to being the Lord of their life. He's used to commanding and his commands being obeyed. He's used to being the one that everyone looks to. As a centurion, the way they get their job is not because they were promoted or paid their way. No, they earned it because they march and they're brave and they're strong in battle. And they march with their soldiers in the back on some horse giving commands from a distance up on a hill. They lead their soldiers. They're the ones with that red comb on their helmet. They lead them into battle. They're the bravest, the strongest leaders. They lead by example. And they command their men, and their men look to their commander to be the one who sets the tone. We can survive this battle. We can survive this hardship. We can survive this struggle. They all look to him. He's used to being Lord. He's the one who provides for his soldiers. He pays them. He feeds them. He barracks them and helps them to live in society. He takes care of them and their families and their wounds. He oversees all of that as their commander. And Peter is standing before a man who's used to being Lord and telling him to bend a knee. Bend a knee. You want the good news of Jesus Christ? You want the peace of Jesus Christ? Let him rule. That means stop trying to be in charge of your life and your ways. Bring your life to his ways, his authority, his truth, his command, and you will find peace. The reason why we don't feel peace in our lives is either because of the outside world that is not submitting to him or our inside world that is not submitting to him. Jesus Christ came to bring peace. And there are some of us here who believe in the facts about Jesus, how he took away our sin through his death, but you are still struggling. And the reason you are struggling for peace is because you have not surrendered the reality of all of your life that Jesus is Lord. That is what is taking place in this conversation. Cornelius, brother, you're used to being Lord of all these men. You're a man among men. But today, you need to bend a knee. Today, you need to surrender. And Peter isn't just standing to him on the streets. He's in the man's house. Jesus is Lord of all. We don't like the word submission. Submission means to make yourself less than. It's a voluntary choice to bend, a voluntary choice to lower yourself, a voluntary choice to say, I'm going to let you be in charge and over me. I'm going to let you lead me. We all say that we want to be forgiven, but do we truly want the peace of Jesus Christ that comes through him being our Lord? My friends, if you are not making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're not believing in Jesus. The thief on the cross made that confession. Cornelius here will make that confession. Many people have made that confession. But where have you or have you not? You see, because if Jesus Christ is our Lord, that means he's our commander, and our commander is good. His plans and his ways are what are best for our lives. Our commander, our God, our Lord Jesus is great. And therefore, there is no greater power to work on your behalf for the struggles you have going on. He is the general who's concerned with your life and your death and all that goes on with you. Our commander is glorious. That means he is worthy of worship. And there is nothing on earth as pleasurable and beautiful and amazing as him. No matter what you might be chasing, there is nothing as glorious as our Lord. But not only is he good and is he great and is he glorious, he is gracious. Slow to anger. Slow to pouring out his wrath. He takes you as you are, but doesn't leave you as you are. We have a gracious, gracious God. So today, you might be hearing God tell you that there are areas of your life you are not obeying. Areas of your life that you are not surrendering to him. You're giving yourself permission, that means you're Lord. You're giving yourself permission, that means you're God of your life. You're giving yourself permission to continue in anger, to continue in bitterness, to continue in living in sexual immorality, to continue to look at pornography, continue to hold on to bitterness from abuse, to continue to hold and chase after money, to continue to hold on to whatever it is you're wrestling with. You give yourself permission to worry. Give yourself permission to complain. I want to let you know that complaining is not a spiritual gift. Some of you practice it with fluency. It is not a spiritual gift. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all the spiritual gifts. And the greatest of these is love. Guys, the Holy Spirit wants to manifest that in your life. There's no peace. Because Jesus is not Lord. He's not Lord. When the king comes and establishes his kingdom, he establishes peace because he establishes his order, and he establishes his order with his power. And where is his power shown greatest in our lives? The resurrection. The resurrection. The fact that Jesus Christ came back to life. That is true power and authority. That means your addiction doesn't have to be the final say over you. That means your greatest fear about what's going on in your relationships and in your life doesn't have to conquer you. If someone can conquer sin and death and come back to life and show off for 40 days and eat with people and hang out with people, then I'm pretty sure he can deal with your financial issues and your marriage issues and your health issues. I know so many of you are really struggling. I pray for you guys daily, weekly, who are hurting physically. But Jesus Christ wants to manifest his authority and his resurrection power in you as you are walking through the attack of what sin has done unto your body. The decay of your body is the result of sin. The struggles in your marriage is the result of sin. The struggles of addictions is the result of sin. There is nothing in this world that is all messed up. It all comes from sin. And Jesus Christ wants to manifest his resurrection power in that. He wants to be with you in that. Stop giving yourself permission to stay in sin and go stand in his kingdom. And say, Lord, have your way with me. Have your way with me. Now you might be sitting here going, Pastor, that's all good. Man, that's intense. But you don't know how hard it is for me. You don't know what it means for me to let go of this, how afraid I am. You don't know what it's going to cost me to do this and to let Jesus, can Jesus just be my Savior? No. I don't know what it's like to go through what you're going through. I have no idea what it means to be in your skin. But Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross, knows what suffering is like. Jesus came in history to die in that suffering of a way, because there is no greater suffering known to man than a crucifixion. So he knows your suffering. He knows your pain. He knows your fear. He knows you. And he's looking at you and telling you, yes, I forgive you, but I want to manifest my presence in you. I want my kingdom to reign in you. I want you to live and walk free from sin. I want you to walk free from anxiety. I want you to walk free from depression. I want you to walk free from the brokenness in relationships. I want you to walk free from the abuse of sin upon you. I want you to be free. And I want to let those chains fall off of you. And that only happens. Peter is telling him, Cornelius, Jesus has to be your Lord. He has to be your Lord. You can't be in charge. You cannot be in charge. You do not know peace in your life right now, because you do not know the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. There is war going on for your heart. Peter declared that in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. That Jesus, he says, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Many of you have been oppressed, been lied to and beaten and hurt and abused and abandoned. And you medicate it. You try to heal the pain of sin on you through drink, through food, through money, through escape, through vacations, through whatever. Jesus is saying it's insufficient. It's insufficient. Because I have not only come to forgive your sin, but to bring you peace. Next week, when we get into talking about what will happen when the Holy Spirit comes upon them and just seems to just be like hovering in the room, which I feel like at times he is in here. He just wants to invade their lives, and he does invade their lives. Why? Because they're believing in that moment. They're submitting in that moment. They're surrendering in that moment. Lord, okay, I'm going to give my whole life to you. I believe in the message that is being preached. I believe in what I'm hearing. And the Holy Spirit shows up, y'all. He shows up. And we're all shocked when the Holy Spirit shows up. It's a common occurrence in believers who surrender to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit shows up. Reason why maybe the Holy Spirit hasn't shown up in your life is because you haven't bent a knee to his authority and his lordship of everything. But Jesus wants to give you the peace of his resurrection. So I want to close with this text. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, he's telling his disciples before he goes to the cross, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Why would my heart not be troubled? Why would my heart not be afraid? Because I have his peace. I have his presence. What is he talking about? He's talking about the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. God is going to wants to take up and make a fort in your life. He wants to build a castle in your life. He wants to build his kingdom in your life. You are going to be a living, breathing outpost of the Holy Spirit. How? Because Jesus Christ is getting ready to go to the cross. He's going to die and he's going to rise. And they're going to believe in that and surrender to that authority. And that brings them peace. When there's division in the church, it's because there's no peace. When there's division in your life, there's no peace. When there's division in your marriage, there's no peace. It's because one or all are not surrendering to the lordship of Jesus. So today, church family, my prayer for us is this. One, is that you will not just believe in the historical fact of who Jesus Christ is, but that you will encounter the living, breathing, resurrected Jesus Christ power in your life. That you will seek him. And whatever Jesus is revealing to you right now, whatever you're feeling and hearing, "I need to surrender," that you will. I pray that what happens for you when you go home is that you bend a knee. And some of you who've had knee replacements might just want to sit down, but that your heart is bent. That you surrender, "Lord, you be in charge. Lord, you take my marriage. Lord, you take my children. Lord," some of you, "my adult children. Lord, have your way with them. I can't keep worrying about them. I can't keep trying to control them. I can't save them. Lord, have your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that's what gives us our daily bread. That's what gives us our forgiveness of our sins. That's what gives us our peace that surpasses all understanding, is because we bend to our Father who art in heaven. How holy is his name, and his kingdom comes on earth. His kingdom comes in your life. His kingdom comes in your school. His kingdom comes in all that you're doing. And you will have cravings. Cravings. Nonstop, "Pastor, Pastor, Pastor, I want to be baptized. Pastor, I want to publicly confess that Jesus is my Lord. Pastor, Pastor, Jesus is alive in my life. Pastor, Jesus is alive in my marriage. Pastor, Jesus is changing me. Pastor, Pastor, look what God is doing." Pastor doesn't do anything. Jesus does it all. All I do is reiterate what Jesus is doing and what he's commanding and what he's calling you. Today, let those chains fall. Let your worry and your anxiety and your anger and your bitterness and all that you're trying to control, even if it is the scariest thing. Some of you, you've got to walk away from things and walk away from people because God is calling you to his ways. And the good news of Jesus Christ is, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. My plans are not your plans. My ways are not your ways. But guess what? My ways are good because they're built on resurrection power. Do you want that resurrection power today, church? Do you want that? Then let us pray. Lord, you are good. We thank you for Brian. We thank you for his testimony. Sweet little boy just wants to publicly profess you and let the world know he loves you. So Lord, I pray for him. I pray you put a hedge of protection around that young man. I pray that you guard his faith and nurture his faith and protect his faith. Let that good soil that you tilled, let it grow and produce a harvest that is tenfold, 60-fold, 100-fold. But there are so many of us in here, Lord, that we are the soil that is just grown up and it's rocky and hard because we're holding on to our love of the world and our ways. There's so many of us here, Lord, that are holding on to the soil that is full of weeds and the sin and the things of this world, thinking, oh, it's okay. Jesus will just forgive me again. I can keep on sinning and smoking and drinking and sexing and doing all that the world says. Lord, that's not bent knee lives. That's not changed lives. So Lord, I ask and I pray, Lord, this morning that for every soul in here, whether it's our anxieties about our bodies and how many more weeks, days, and months and years do we have left on this earth, whether it's anxiety about our children, anxiety about our church and its future, any fear, anything that's keeping us from being at peace in you, take it, Lord. Take our anxieties, take our fears, take our woes, take our hurts, take our abuse that we've encountered. Take it all. So we can be like this child. I just want to be baptized in you, Jesus. Be united in you, Jesus. Be under your leadership, Jesus. Give us childlike faith again, Jesus. So that everywhere we go, we want to tell people about your love. Tell people about your grace. Tell people about how you have changed us because our Lord is good. So Lord, as we go forward to take communion, and we go forward to sing songs and praise you, Lord, bend our knees. If we got to come to the altar and lay things down at the altar is open. We've got worries and fears and pains. We want to leave it at your feet, Lord. We want to surrender. Lord, help us not to pick it back up. We sometimes surrender and then we grab it, hold it, make it back up. Lord, may we leave it at your feet and trust in your resurrection power. Trust in your lordship. Trust in your ways. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who conquered sin and death. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Jesus.